Morning.
All right, we're going to be in Mark 14. Mark chapter 14, and we'll be looking at verses 66 through 72. Mark 14, 66 through 72. This will close out the chapter. And these verses are covering the fall and the recovery of Peter. Peter's fall and his recovery. And what we see here is that the Holy Spirit moved the gospel writers to record this in all four gospels. There's not a lot of things that are necessarily covered in all four gospels, but this is one of them, and that tells us it's very important. And I want to, just as we start off, I just want to give you four quick things so that we can better understand why it is that it's recorded here in Mark 14. And so one of the things that we see here is that Peter's denial was every bit a part of Christ's suffering. Peter's denial of Christ was a part of his suffering, that Christ suffered. And that tells us that when we deny Christ and when we sin against him, that's a part of his suffering that he bore for his people. And then the second thing, we see that the recovery of Peter, Peter's recovery by the Lord, it reveals to us just how tender, how gracious, how kind and merciful and loving our Savior is to his people. He's a loving Savior. He's not vicious. He's not getting back at us for wronging him. He's very kind. He's very tender to his people. And it also shows us that we ourselves are subject to the same temptations. We see Peter fall. We know we can fall as well. We see this is something that we can do. And we also see that the best of men, those that are the most eminent and the best of men among us, even they are seen to be weak, frail sinners. Even the best of men that you would never expect it from, even they are weak, frail sinners. And therefore, we see from that that we can only be saved by the grace of God. Truly, salvation is by the grace and power of God. All right, so Peter's fall, it cries out to us, all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So that we have to declare salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It's his work, because it's certainly not ours. We see what we are, and we see it displayed for us in Peter. So this morning, as we look at Peter's fall and his recovery, remember that like Peter, we too are weak sinners in need, desperate need of our Lord's grace. And we know that we need to lean on the Lord because we want to honor the Lord, right? You that love the Lord, we want to honor him. We want to be found faithful by him. We want to serve him and adorn his name with the grace that we know that he's shown to us. We want to adorn his gospel with a life that looks like we're his people. We want to do that, but we see very often repeated in our own lives, we see that if the Lord doesn't keep us, then rather than honor his name, we're going to profane his name and we're going to bring shame upon ourselves. We desperately need the Lord to keep us. And if the Lord allows it, we'll even go so far as to deny the Lord who bought us with his own blood. All right, so remember this is true of ourselves, and therefore we should remember this when we're dealing with a brother in error. Right? A brother or sister in error, we need to remember this as well so that we're not so harsh upon them and we remember, you know, I need grace. Peter needed grace. And so let us remember that when we're dealing with a brother or sister. So our title is A Believer's Fall and Recovery. A Believer's Fall and Recovery. And that'll be our divisions. We'll first look at Peter's fall, and then we'll look at Peter's recovery. All right, so we're in Mark 14, starting in verse 66. But given what we know about our own hearts, we would look at this and and likely be afraid and wonder, well, how is this possible? How did this happen to Peter? I need to know, because if Peter fell, what about me? And if Peter can commit such an evil act against his Lord, what about me? What does that say about me? And that's because what we read of Peter here, he's not a lost man. Peter's not a lost man. We're talking about a believer, a child of God, who's been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the grace of God has saved him. The Spirit has sanctified him. Christ put away his sin so that he's now justified. And yet on the night in which our Lord was betrayed, this evil broke out of Peter's heart, and he displayed incredible wickedness against the Lord. What he said and what he did was evil, and it was horrible. It was wickedness and certainly not righteousness. And so Peter was moved to protect himself. He was moved to deny Christ and say, I don't even know this man. I don't know this man. I don't know who he is. Right? And so you think about the honor that Peter had. Right? Peter was a chosen vessel of God. He was one of the first ones to whom Christ was revealed. And he was one of the first ones to be saved by the grace of God in seeing Christ and beholding him. He was one of the earliest professors of Christ. And, you know, Andrew, his brother, heard John declare, this is the Christ, the Lamb of God. And yet when Andrew brought Peter to the Lord, he said, our name shall be called Cephas, which is a stone. One who's a dependable, solid rock of a person. Cephas. And so Peter was in the Lord's inner circle, and yet here he is denying the Lord. And he was used in the early church to be one of the mightiest of speakers, the preacher of the gospel in the early church. All right, and the Lord told him, the Lord was kind. He said to Peter before all this happened, before there was any trouble or commotion, he told Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And so he was warned of the Lord of this. And when he was in the garden, he was told by the Lord, watch, Peter, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. And yet, as this is all playing out, as this is all going down, Peter goes right on in to the danger, and he ignores the light that he had revealed to him by the Lord, and he doubts the word of Christ. He doubts the word of Christ, and he goes right into this, and then he finds himself in this awful situation. And so another thing too is that this happened so soon after he was the one who said, Lord, though all these others here should deny you and forsake you, won't be me. Won't be me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand with you, and I'll die with you this very night if that's what it takes. I'll die with you. That's what he said. And yet here he is denying Christ only a few hours later. He's denying the Lord. So through this, we're to consider ourselves that Peter, and think about this, Peter's fall didn't happen suddenly. It wasn't just all of a sudden that this happened. This happened by degrees. His fall came by degrees. And I'll show you a few things in the text where we can see that Peter's fall came by degrees. First, look there in Mark 14 and look at verse 54. Verse 54. Here we're told, and Peter, so this is after they fled, and Peter followed him afar off. Peter followed him afar off. And that's when Christ willingly said that I'll go with you, let these go free. I'll go with you willingly. When they heard that, they said, uh-oh, this is it. We're going to be persecuted here. And they left. They fled from Christ to protect themselves. And so Peter, wanting to preserve himself and to protect himself, he followed the Lord, but it was afar off. Afar off. And so when we see that, the question for us is, am I following the Lord afar off? Do I keep him at a distance to protect myself? Right? Do I I want to follow Christ. I have an interest in following Christ, but I keep him just far enough away so that it doesn't come near to me and I don't receive any persecution. You know, whether it's in our, do I keep my social circles apart from my family circle? I mean, from my church family circles? Do I keep it at a distance so that nobody really knows that I love Christ and following him? So he followed Christ afar off. That was the first thing that we see. And then Peter's denial, his denial was also by degrees. And so for starters, we see him sitting in the seat of mockers and scorners. Over in Luke, and you can turn there to Luke 22 and just hold your finger there. I think we might look at a couple other verses once in a while from there, but because Luke adds a certain, just the way he words some things is very helpful to see what's going on here. But in Luke 22, verse 55, we're told, "And when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them." He sat down among them. He went and sat down there among the scorners and the mockers and the scoffers who did not believe that Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ sent of God. So much for Peter and us being the blessed man who sitteth not in the seat of scorners. We're like Peter. Christ and Christ alone is the blessed man who doesn't sit in the seat of scorners. All right, now back in our text, let's read a few verses here. In Mark 14, verse 66, it says, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew." The first time the cock crowed. So at this accusation, he just pretended, "I don't even know what you're talking about, young lady. What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying here." And so he began to distance himself a little further. "I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not with that Jesus of Nazareth." And then we read verse 69. "And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak." And so he began to swear, bring down oaths upon his head and swear to these things that he does not know this man, this Jesus of Nazareth. And so he began to speak of him not even as the Son of God, but he began to speak of him as just a common man. "I don't know this man. And he knew the divinity of Christ. He had confessed before in John 6:69, I'll read it, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." The Spirit put that in Peter's heart, and he confessed that. He confessed that, having that light, and now he's saying, "I don't know that man, or this man. I don't know this man. I don't know who he is." And so there's many ways in which men and women fall and deny Christ. There's many ways in which men and women fall into sin, but saints rarely fall into sin suddenly. They rarely fall into sin suddenly. It's by degrees. It's little inconsistencies that just keep adding up and adding up and adding up, and then eventually you deny Christ or you have some great fall. And so we see here with Peter, he was so mighty and so strong one moment that he would cut off a man's ear, and then he becomes afraid of a little maid's question. And he becomes afraid and fearful of man. So we see here a few things in Peter, and that we can then lay over our own heart and consider about ourselves, because that's what we're doing. It's not about me looking at you or you looking at me or at other people. It's, what do I learn from this? What can I take away from this? Well, Peter for one thing, he was far too confident in his own strength. He was very proud of his own strength, and he was very confident about who he was and what he believed in of the Lord. And then we see that Peter was yet, even as bold as he was yet overcome by the fear of man. He was afraid, and he was overcome by the fear of man. And then we see that he wasn't watchful over his own heart and soul. He just ignored everything that the Lord said to him. And he wasn't watchful. He wasn't careful. He wasn't thinking about it or worried about what's going to happen to him. He just went on doing what he wanted to do. And we also see that he doubted Christ's word. Right? When the Lord told him, "You're going to deny me," he didn't believe him. He doubted it. He questioned it. He questioned it. Right? And Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 4:23 and 24, "Keep thy heart with diligence. Keep your heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee." And that's exactly what Peter did. He had a froward heart, and he had perverse lips, and he denied the Lord. And so we're to remember that and to keep watch over our hearts. All right, now, but let's move on to the second point here of Peter's recovery. As soon as Peter denied Christ in their midst, we're told in verse 72, Mark 14:72, "And the second time the cock crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, 'Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice,'" or three times. "And when he thought thereon, he wept." Now, thankfully, we have this account given to us in very plain and painful detail. And the gospel writers, they make no excuses for Peter. They make no excuses for him. They don't justify it in any way. They don't say, "Well, it was late and Peter was tired and he was grouchy and angry." They don't say, "Well, you know, he was surrounded by enemies, and so he was just protecting himself to get out of there safely." They don't give any excuse, and Peter never gives any excuse, right? And it's good for us to see, you know, when we're wrong. When I'm wrong, let me just be wrong and say I'm wrong, and not say, "Well, you said this to me, and you did that." Maybe they did. I'm not saying they're right either, but let us own up to what we are and what we do that is wrong. And it's important for us just to say, "I'm wrong. What I did was wrong, and I'm a sinner, and, you know, forgive me." And so it shows us that Peter is brought down to nothing. He's just stripped of the confidences and the strength in his flesh, and he's brought to see that I'm nothing. And the beauty in that is that he sees completely now that salvation is all of grace. That his restoration is entirely of the Lord. It's not of him. You know, as long as we can justify what we're doing, then we're not hearing and not understanding that salvation really is of the Lord. And it's not because I'm a good person or because I've done something to earn God's favor. When we see what we are in our nature, then we know, Lord, truly salvation is of grace, and we experience it, so that having experienced that, we're more likely to be kind to others that when they sin, whether we're helping them or they sin against us, whatever it is, we won't be looking down on them, because we know, honestly, I have no excuse for the things I do or that I did ever. So, you know, it's just of the Lord's grace. All right. And so Peter's end, though, is a happy end in Christ, right? He fell, but he didn't perish. It's like what we read in Proverbs 24:16, that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, because the Lord raises us up, right? The Lord raises up his people. And so the Lord gives us four things that we can see, four things that we see here, which he used to recover Peter from his fall, right? Four things that we see here. And so let's look at this, because then we see and know, well, this is how the Lord deals with us. And we can see how the Lord's dealing with us when we see these things in Peter's case. The first thing that we have here is the Lord's use of a work of providence. The Lord uses providence to reveal Peter's sin to him. It says the cock crowed, right? It crowed. And when Peter heard that cock the second time, he knew, I've sinned. What I did was wrong. It was not right for what I did. All right. So the Lord uses providence, and we know that. We've had things happen in providence where we're brought. You know, we're going. I know I have. I'm going, and things are getting harder and harder and harder, and I'm just not getting it. And I'm just going headlong with a thick skull and not getting. And then suddenly something happens that I stop and say, oh, yeah, what am I doing? Like, I haven't even been thinking about the Lord in any way in this regard. And I've just been doing these things in my own strength, in my own wisdom, my own logic, my own abilities. No wonder why it's going nowhere. I've just forgotten the Lord. All right, so that's one of the ways that we see here. The second thing that we see is that before Peter's conscience was actually struck by that providential work of the cock crowing the second time, before that happened, Luke tells us over in Luke 22, verse 61, we're told, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That's a work of grace. And that's how we're turned. It isn't just providence for providence's sake. It's the mercy of our God who looks upon us in grace and makes us to hear and to understand, oh, I see what I've just been laboring in my own strength. And that's what happened here. The Lord looked upon Peter, and then we're told that he heard the cock crow. I mean, the cock crowed, but when the Lord looked upon him, that's when it struck him. And that's when it was laid to his heart that the Lord's in this. And I've sinned against him, and I need to hear the Lord. So it wasn't that Peter looked to Christ. It was that Christ looked to Peter, and then Peter understood what he heard in that. And so Peter, you know, in that look, what's conveyed there by Luke is the tenderness, you know, of the Lord who, you know, says, Peter, I love you. I loved you. I gave my heart, my life, my blood, my body for you to put away your sin. I've loved thee, Peter, with an everlasting love. I left my throne in glory, Peter, and took on the likeness of your flesh to put away your sin, to work righteousness for you, which you cannot work for yourself. Peter, I love you. I love you. And you deny me, Peter. And yet, Peter, I love you. And I'm still going ahead, and I'm going to lay down my life to put away your sins forever, that you might have eternal life with me and my Father for all eternity. So we see that. And that came rushing into Peter's heart. The Lord, in grace, revealed that to him. And that's what he does for us. That's what he does for us. He reveals his love and mercy for us. Now, third, we see the work of the Word. We see the work of the Word of the Lord upon Peter. Look back in Mark 14, 72, that last verse there. Mark 14, 72. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And so, brethren, that's why we read the Word. That's why we preach the Word. Right? There's things in the Word that are an exhortation. And we know that in our flesh, we don't have the power or the will or the desire to hear the exhortation. And we don't have the ability to do the exhortation. But we read the Word and we preach the Word and declare it, knowing that it's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that takes that word and brings it back to our minds and our remembrance that, oh, the Lord said to me this, and the Lord said this to me, and the Lord showed me this promise, that this is his will and purpose for me. Right? He gives us his word so that we know. It's not that we have ability to do it, but he makes us to know his will and purpose for us, and then he works that grace in us so that we hear it, and that by his strength and power, we're able to hear the word and to receive it and to believe it and to walk in the truth of that word. And so the Lord uses all these things here, right, to bring to our mind his will and his word, and then in the appointed time, we'll hear it. We'll hear it. He'll make it known to us, all right? And so, fourth, we see here, or we understand and know that this is the work of our advocate, Jesus Christ. This is one of his glorious works for his people, that he's an advocate for us. He told Peter before this happened in Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for thee. Right? Satan hath desired to sift thee, Peter, as wheat. He wants to sift you, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Right? And so that's what we need. We need an advocate. We desperately need an advocate, and Christ is the advocate of his people. And so he prays as our high priest. He prays and intercedes for us with the Father, and we receive forgiveness, and we are restored again to life, and we are cleansed by his power and his spirit, so that we know him and rejoice in him. Right? And so it's like what John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we're thankful that he's righteous. And so that's where we see the restoration of Peter, how the Lord used all those things. And we see, you know, the Lord uses all those things with me. That's how I fall 7 times. But the Lord raises me up, and he uses these things with power, by his spirit and his power. That's how he brings us home to our hearts. And so the Lord fully restored Peter, and the trial that he endured was good for him, right? It removed a lot of chaff from him. It was good for him to endure that, and the Lord restored him and used him mightily in the church. And so, you know, the Lord will do that with us. We'll go through these things. They're painful. We don't seek out to fall into sin. We don't want to do that, but when we do, and the Lord restores us, he draws us nearer to himself and will use us in his kingdom as he sees fit, as it pleases him. All right? And so after that point, we know that Peter then went out from among them. He left those scorners, and he left that area, just left them behind, and he went out from them. He was restored back to the Lord. All right? And so Peter was broken. He was broken in spirit, and that's a good place for us to be. We're brought to that. When we fall, we're broken in spirit. And the Psalm says, Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So the Lord uses that to break us and to show us that we're nothing. That we have nothing to glory in or boast in, and we're as guilty of doing the worst sins. There's nothing that we can't do that this world doesn't do. This flesh is capable of the worst, most vile of crimes and sins and evil against others and against our Lord. So it's by his grace that we're saved. Now, looking at Peter, we're reminded that, one, we should never presume ourselves to be faithful and mighty and great and wonderful. We should never think too highly of ourselves, but always be reminded and always remember, I'm grass. I'm grass, and I'm withering and fading away, but my Lord, let him increase in us. So we desperately need his grace every hour. And then we see that we're capable of the worst and most vile crime. And then remember these things when you're dealing with your brethren, when you're dealing with someone you love and care about, and someone that you know. Be kind. I mean, you can be honest, and you can tell them the truth if they're wronging you or sinning against you, but be kind and merciful. Remember that, because that's how the Lord deals with us. He's honest, but he's kind and merciful, and don't be too severe with your brethren. All right? And then Peter's restoration shows us that our Lord is the one who works salvation for his people and not we ourselves. It's him. It's his grace and mercy. So I say this, you know, never depart from the Lord. Let us not depart from the Lord. But, you know, be watchful and be mindful that we're able to fall away just like Peter. And if we're restored, it's by his grace. So cling to Christ. Pray that he never leave you and that you never leave him. And if you do fall, when you do fall, return to him, because he's a merciful, tender, gracious, kind, loving Savior. Return to him, because there's never anyone who seeks him out for mercy that goes to him seeking mercy. He never turns a sinner away who seeks mercy and grace from him. So remember that. I pray that the Lord bless that word to your hearts. All right, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, Father, we thank you for your tender mercies. Lord, we thank you for including this account of Peter, that we may see his fall, and Lord, that we may see his restoration. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed show us the same kindness and grace and mercy for Christ's sake, Lord, because we cannot save ourselves and we're no better than Peter. Lord, if anything, we're worse than him. Father, please have mercy upon us for Christ's sake. Keep us close to our Savior. Let us not walk with him at a far-off distance, but let us walk near to him, shoulder to shoulder and resting in his bosom. And Lord, that we would not be ashamed of him. Father, when we fall, please restore us. For Christ's sake, we pray this. It's in his name we ask it. Amen.